Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy. Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it!
Onions! Baby onions! Kobe White, put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Matt is out today. We will be back together on Monday, but I have a special guest for you guys today. Former NBA agent, now current NBA draft analyst for BabcockHoops.com. That's Matt Babcock. His family has been all over the NBA for 20-plus years. You may know his dad, Dave Babcock, has over 20 years of experience with the Milwaukee Bucks, and he was an influential part in drafting Giannis Antetokounmpo back in 2013. His uncles, Rob and Pete Babcock, are former NBA executives and a plethora of cousins who's played all over the place. Matt was a walk-on at Arizona, had a little stint as an NBA agent working in front offices, and then now converted into one of us, the media. So very, very excited for this conversation because you guys would be surprised at some of his picks that he had in the top five. Wanted to get his thoughts on that. So without further ado, here is Matt Babcock.
What was Felicio doing?
I'm not sure.
Welcoming to Locked On Bulls for the first time is NBA draft analyst for BabcockHoops.com is Matt Babcock, former NBA agent and contributor to CBS Sports HQ, Basketball News, and Sports Illustrated. Matt, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. First, before we get into any of the NBA draft stuff, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your background and wanted to see if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about you, how you became someone who was so involved in not only the NBA, but more specifically the NBA draft.
Yeah, sure. So to give you background, before my professional career started, I was born into a basketball family. My dad and my two uncles have all worked in the NBA for a long time. And so I kind of grew up around the NBA. I was a player, I was a walk-on at the University of Arizona. And then, from college, I thought I was going to get into coaching and then eventually scouting. But my first job was with Wasserman Media Group. And so that was sort of my first taste of the agency business. I did a short stint coaching in Italy and then came back and worked for Excel Sports Management and just kind of fell into the agency business. Did that for 10 years and decided, after a while that, wasn't what I wanted to do long term. So I got out of that business and I started doing some scouting for Marty Blake and Associates, which was a scouting service that was originally put together by the NBA. So I did that, just volunteer scouted for them. And during that time, Sports Illustrated contacted me and asked me if I'd be interested in writing a series of stories about the NBA draft just from an agent's perspective. And so that was sort of my entry point into the media. And so I've kind of fallen into the media deal, similar to how I did the agency business, where it wasn't really planned. It kind of just happened and I've just been rolling with it.
What's one thing, since you've been a part of all different aspects of not only the NBA, just basketball and pro basketball in general, what's one thing that you thought might not be difficult becoming a media member that turns out, as you've kind of gone through this process over the last couple of years, said, damn, this is actually kind of a lot more difficult than I thought it was. And maybe what's the thing that you thought you were scared of or thought was going to be extremely difficult that ended up turning out to be pretty easy and pretty natural for you?
The writing, I don't have a journalism background at all. And so when Sports Illustrated asked me to write articles for them, I'm like, really me? I was the kid that hardly even did my homework, And so, I kind of went in that, little hesitant and, I really enjoyed it. And, the feedback was good. I mean, I certainly have some help with some editors and proofreaders and whatnot, but, initially, the writing, was a little bit intimidating to me, but I've really come to really enjoy it.
That's good to hear. And I know a lot of people in the media, the best part about being in the media right now is you being versatile, is whether you can write podcasts, do videos. The more you can do, the better. And I think you will find, as you talk to a lot of media members, people who've done this for a really long time, is some people start out in radio and they end up loving TV, and that's what they work for 20 years through. Or they end up starting in writing and they really like talking and they ended up on the radio or in podcasting. So it is interesting to see a bunch of former players and former executives now turning and using their tools and their knowledge to help educate fans. So we appreciate that from you and from everybody else who's been doing that. I know we have John Hollinger like twice a month on our network here at the Locked On Podcast Network, and he gives his insight as well. But Matt, I wanted to let's dive right into the NBA draft. I was listening to some of your podcasts and reading some of your takes on the NBA draft in the top five over the last couple of weeks, and I want to first start with something that's very interesting to me. Your reasoning and your background on Obi Toppin and why you thought he would be the best fit in Minnesota. Let's start there. Why you picked him and had him going number one, and what's the likelihood of Minnesota trading out?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this draft is really, really hard to predict. You know, I think there's a lot of parity towards the top with the top players. And with Minnesota specifically, you know, it's really a tough spot to be in if you're Gerson Rosas, the president of basketball operations there. You know, because I think the two guys with the most upside are Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball. I don't like the fits there that much. And so I do think Minnesota is going to be a team that's going to actively pursue trades. I don't know how easy that's going to be to do, you know, whether that means, you know, moving back so they can get a guy that's a better fit, you know, like Denny Avdija or Obi Toppin, and get an additional asset. If they can do that, I think they would, you know, but sometimes that's easier said than done. So I went with Obi Toppin because I think he's a sure thing. I think he's going to be a really effective player. There's a lot of criticism on him on the defensive end, but I think that could be said for a lot of these top guys this year. So I went with Obi Toppin because I think it's the best fit, but I do think they will look to trade.
Does he have the most concerns of the top five guys as far as defense is concerned? Because I know like Bulls fans have been talking about Obi Toppin at four and maybe taking him there if he slides, if it goes pretty chalk, and then you're deciding between wings, which the Bulls are in desperate, desperate need of wings and guys who can actually stay healthy and stay on the floor. They have Otto Porter for another year, and they drafted Chandler Hutchison, who hasn't been able to stay on the floor for the last 2 years. So they desperately need a wing, but Arturis Karnišovas has said multiple times he's going to take the best player available at four. But back to Toppin really quick, do you feel like he's got the most improvement to make on the defensive side of the ball? And if not, who is that at the top five?
You know, I mean, you know, there are legitimate concerns with his defense. I mean, he's a terrific athlete, but he's more of a north-south type athlete, you know, elite jumper rather than lateral quickness. And so, I mean, the criticism is, you know, in an NBA where it's really spaced out, is he going to get caught at, you know, in vulnerable spots just because he can't move that well laterally. And so, I mean, the concerns are valid. The problem is, I mean, like Anthony Edwards isn't very good defensively. LaMelo Ball's not very good defensively. They're not very committed on that side of the ball. So, you know, I mean, you could look at guys like a Kung Wu or Wiseman who are going to be defensive anchors. But, you know, they already have Carl Anthony Towns. So with Minnesota, you know, I don't think they need to take a good defender just to take a good defender. They need need somebody to coexist with their stars. And so, you know, there is concerns on the defensive end, but I think the offense outweighs, you know, those concerns.
We'll get back to more draft talk and Bulls conversation with Matt Babcock, NBA draft analyst, in just a minute. I want to talk to you guys about Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo, or you voted altogether. Excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, babe, I'm just not feeling it tonight. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real health care professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. Medication is appropriate. Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/lockedonNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. That's once again, GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA for $15 off of your first order. What are you waiting for? GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. Now back to our conversation with Matt Babcock. How far do you think Obi Toppin falls, say, if Minnesota decides to pass and they say, you know, we're going to take best player available and deal with some of the concerns on the floor later, and maybe we can decide to make a deal throughout this offseason. How far do you feel like he slides through this top five, top seven, and would he be a good fit if Wiseman, Ball, and Edwards are all off the board at four?
You know, I think Cleveland would take him at five. I think that would be his spot if he doesn't go to Minnesota. Obviously, there could be other trades too. I mean, you know, this whole thing could get, you know, shaken up. As far as with Chicago, you know, I think he could be a guy that they look at. I don't think he's the best fit, even just with, you know, with Wendell Carter and Markkanen already there. I mean, they could do sort of a three-headed monster in their front court, you know, because all those guys could play together. But, you know, I think they probably will look somewhere else. But I'd be surprised if he slipped past Cleveland at five.
It's interesting. Now that let's go to who you took at four for Chicago. You had Anthony Edwards and James Wiseman both being selected two and three. And then it came to the decision of LaMelo Ball at number four. And he ended up falling, and you had him placed with the Bulls. The two things that stood out, Matt, I will tell you first and foremost, I've been saying this for months, I am desperately hoping the Bulls take LaMelo Ball here just for pure star factor. The Bulls, that's been the number one drain since Jimmy Butler has been left, is we don't have any star power here. Zach LaVine, a lot of people like to argue back and forth whether or not Zach LaVine's got star power or not, but the Bulls desperately need that in a young player, somebody that they can hope for and look for a ceiling that's super, super high. But the two things that stood out to me were the downfalls of LaMelo Ball's game was the lack of interest on defense and maybe some immaturity issues on his being from going to team, and we've seen him on reality shows and stuff like that. But those two concerns pop up for me for the Bulls because, one, we've had some dysfunction here over the last two or three years, even if you don't pay attention to the Bulls at all. And the idea of not playing defense makes me cringe because the Bulls' defense has been pretty brutal over the last 3 years, although Jim Boylan will be the one to tell you that they had a top 10 defense at some point last year. So those two concerns, besides those, going to the Bulls, LaMelo Ball, why did you see the fit there?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with your points on Ball. I mean, he's got clear-cut talent. He's got, you know, star potential. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to step in, you know, and light the world on fire like a Doncic or anybody like that. But he's going to be able to step in and you know, be able to be a prime contributor to a team right off the bat and hopefully develop over the next couple of years of being a star type player. So at four, I think it fits what, you know, the Bulls already have because they already have some nice young pieces. And, you know, Coby White had a great rookie year, but I see him more as an off the ball scorer. So you can kind of plug him in, you know, into his natural role and let LaVine, you know, be the scorer that he's evolved into being too. And it really just be like kind of an upgrade from Satoransky, who did have a good year last year. But, you know, I think they need a primary ball handler. And like you said, they need somebody to kind of run the show. And so I think LaMelo at four would be a great pick for them.
Let me ask you quickly about James Wiseman. He intrigues me because if he falls to four, I've made the argument multiple times with my co-host Matt, and he's always told me, Jordan, I get taking James Wiseman there, but we need to plug another hole. We need to plug another need here, and grabbing another big man and then trying to shuffle between Markkanen and Carter and Wiseman, deciding who's going to be the best two out of those guys and dealing the other one. He's like, that could be a problem that you may not want to deal with, especially not having a head coach here. I firmly disagree. I think if Wiseman falls to four, I think the Bulls grab him and deal with all those problems later. Is there something you can tell me that would encourage me as a Bulls fan wanting them to take Wiseman at four if he ends up available there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's legit. You know, I would look at Wiseman if you're there for it. I question if he'll be there or not. You know, obviously, I don't think that would be good news for Carter, who really fits the mold, is more of a, you know, undersized five rather than playing the four. So I think they could be at a disadvantage, you know, if they're having to play those two guys together. But, you know, if you're looking just to take the best player available, you know, that might be Wiseman. So I couldn't argue that.
We'll finish up our discussion with Matt Babcock, NBA draft analyst, in just a second, but want to tell you, our listeners, about our wonderful sponsor in Built Bar. Built Bar has been with the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Bulls for the past several months, and they have been fantastic. I've been telling you guys about their 12 original flavors and the 6 brand new flavors that they just released, including caramel brownie and cookies and cream. 6 brand new flavors on top of their 12 original flavors. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the healthy conscious guy or girl in your life. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. They are fantastic for the Atkins Atkins or keto diet. Flavor profile. Let's take a look at the peanut butter bar, for example. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. Again, covered in 100% chocolate. This peanut butter one is my favorite. Stick that in the freezer for about 30 minutes, and it's like eating a candy bar. I swear to you, it is one of the best. You could try it for yourself. 12 original flavors, 6 brand new flavors for 18 great options. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. And while supplies last, you get a free cooler with each purchase. This way, you can stick a pack of ice or some cubes of ice into this cooler. Stick your Built Bars in there, and they will not melt on a hot day like today where it's 90 plus here in Chicago. So again, while supplies last, get a free cooler with purchase. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off and that free cooler, but you got to do it right now. BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. Now back to our finishing thoughts with Matt Babcock. Looking across the draft as a whole, I'm curious if the Bulls decide to trade back and they don't like who is being popped up, or they don't like anybody, or they're not in love with anybody at 4, and they say they want to move back, or maybe they want to re-enter the draft after keeping 4. Is there any spot in this first round that you feel like has a lot of value that the Bulls could trade or look to trade at?
Yeah, I think, you know, like the second tier is somewhere between like 10 and 20. And I think once you get in there, you're looking at a lot more solid guys that you can kind of plug and play. That'd be nice complementary players. So yeah, I could easily see the Bulls doing something like that. If they're not crazy about any of those top guys, if they're able to get, you know, some future assets, future picks, and maybe another guy or two that could plug into the rotation. Mid first round would probably be a good big, you know, good destination if that's what they're trying to do.
When we look at the draft night as a whole, after it's all said and done, who do you think is going to be the biggest surprise 2 years from now? And who do you think is going to be the biggest disappointment in this draft?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, I would say, I think even though he's gotten a lot of hype now, I think Obi Toppin's going to surprise people. I think he's going to step in and be a guy that, you know, has a chance to be Rookie of the Year. I think he's going to be a big time scorer and you know, has some star potential. So that'd be the guy that I put my neck on the line of, hey, you know, he's getting some love. But I think he needs a little bit more. As far as biggest disappointment, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think Cole Anthony gets a lot of hype. I think he's going to slip in the draft a little bit. I think expectations, you know, across the media are a little too high for him. But to predict who's going to fail, I mean, that's a hard one.
It is difficult, like looking across the board. And, you know, we've tried to talk our fans off the ledge a couple different times with Wendell Carter, trying to explain the injuries and the inconsistency in coaching and the turnover. A lot of that can be a lot for a rookie, even somebody as intelligent and high basketball IQ as Carter has. Sometimes you just get dealt a really terrible hand in your first couple of years. So being patient while also monitoring and keeping an eye on player development, I think, is huge for this Bulls team. When I look at this Bulls team, though, a big argument among Chicago Bulls fans over the last 5 years or so has been talking specifically about second round picks. What's your overall general philosophy on second round picks? And do you feel like guys over the last couple of years have started to add more value for that pick than maybe they have in the previous years?
Yeah, I mean, for second round, you know, a lot of it just depends on who's there. You know, I mean, every team has a different big board. I mean, their priorities are different as far as, you know, how they're trying to build their team, how they're trying to play. So, I mean, a lot of times when their you know, team has guys, you know, pegged as a first round pick and he's there in the second round, you know, you have to take the best player available. And so, I think with Chicago, I believe they're picking 44th or somewhere around there.
Correct.
It's just going to be who's there, you know? So, I mean, they could look at a guy that's a safe pick that they could plug into their rotation that doesn't have much upside, or they could look at a guy that's a little bit more of an, you know, unestablished type guy, like a Jay Scrubb, who's coming from a junior college, that has a ton of upside, but, you know, you're kind of swinging for the fences a little bit. Just depends on who's there. You know, you just kind of got to make a quick good decision.
The Bulls have made good decisions in the past when they have selected in the second round. And even as of recently, Daniel Gafford looks like a steal at 38 last year. I'm looking at some people that even the Bulls have interviewed over this quarantine: Cassius Winston, Paul Reed, Skylar Mays, Emmanuel Quickley, Marcus Howard, Peyton Pritchard, any of those being available in the second round. Does any of those names stand out to you? Cassius Winston being the most notable out of all of those players, seeing the things that he did at Michigan State was incredible, and the Bulls have a fascination with taking guys that have won a lot of accolades and been very, very good in college basketball.
Yeah, those are all older players, you know, that have experience and, you know, sort of what I said, I think they're all safe picks. I don't know how much upside is within that group. But, you know, you could take those guys, put them into, you know, limited rotation roles and they can contribute. And so, I mean, if that's the angle they're going, you know, that list is pretty good.
The last thing I've got for you is more of a question towards your background of becoming an NBA agent and dealing with that, thinking about the process the Bulls have on their hands, because they've got some decisions to make, one thinking about Zach LaVine more specifically. I'm curious your opinion, and maybe it's changed over the last couple of years, but how does factoring into wanting to go to a place like Chicago and dealing with outside factors, like a lot of Bulls fans talk about, nobody wants to come here because we have four seasons and the NBA plays during the winter and Chicago's winters are absolutely brutal. We have things like state income tax. The location being in the Midwest isn't all that great. You have to follow in the footsteps of Jordan. We hear all these excuses about why guys wouldn't want to come to Chicago, and combine that with the fact that things have kind of been unsettled with the front office and the coaching seat over the last several years. Now that some of that has been cleaned up, can an organization flip essentially overnight within an offseason on a player's mindset of wanting to go there in free agency or not? So say somebody that wasn't looking at Chicago a year or two ago, maybe looking at them coming up in the next several off seasons.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, kind of putting my old agent hat on here for a second, you know, when we're looking at a guy that's a free agent, you know, you kind of make pros and cons list. You know, weather is definitely a small factor into that equation. But I don't think it's a deal breaker. I mean, you know, if you were looking at, you know, same contract, you know, same kind of role that they're offering, if you're looking at Chicago, Miami, yeah, Miami might have a little bit of an edge there, right? But I don't think it's a situation where it's going to hold back the Bulls too much or hold back Arturas for making moves. I think them being a bigger market is more important to agents and players than the weather. So, you know, Chicago's about as good as it gets as far as the media market and all that. So I think it is still, you know, potentially a good landing spot for free agents.
I think the fan base is underrated as well. And while the Bulls haven't been exactly great in terms of wins and losses over the past couple of years, I think once the Bulls start getting back to an exciting winning way, people are going to realize how big and exciting this fan base is, and Zach LaVine has talked about it multiple times. Final question for you, and again, thank you for your time again, Matt, is where do you see the prospects in this Bulls from a 3,000-point perspective, from a bird's-eye angle? How do you see the Bulls roster shaping up, and is there a coach out there right now with Steve Nash just being hired to the Nets? Is there a coach out there that you see that could come in and run this system well with guys like Coby White, Wendell Carter Jr., Daniel Gafford, Lauri Markkanen, and Chandler Hutchison, among having the number four pick this year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, from the outside looking on in, I like their talent. You know, obviously they really underachieved last year, but, you know, it's a young group of guys. And I think, you know, kind of shaking things up probably made sense for them, you know, get a new coach in. Sounds like they're probably going to go with an assistant coach. I mean, I think Ime Udoka would be a great name. You know, my cousin worked with him in Philly and San Antonio. And I think Ime would be a good one. But, you know, guys like that, just, you know, sort of a new voice, somebody that kind of come in and give a new approach, you know, allow these guys to grow. And you obviously can be adding a, you know, nice new piece with that fourth pick. So I think Bulls fans, you know, should have a lot of optimism moving forward. I mean, I don't know if they're going to be able to, you know, step in next year and be, you know, a real threat. But, you know, as long as they get things moving in the right direction the next, you know, 2-3 years, I think they could be a serious player in the league.
Yeah, I think the playoff expectations might have been a little bit too high here last year. And I think the Bulls fans are cautiously optimistic heading into this next season. I guess we'll see with Zach LaVine and the rest of them, and we'll see where the Bulls take and who the Bulls take at number four. I'm hoping you're right, though, Matt. I'm hoping the Bulls take LaMelo Ball at number four. We need star power here. We need some hope, and I think a lot of Bulls fans would be very, very happy. Matt, thanks again for your time. Appreciate it. People can check out Matt's work at BabcockHoops.com. He's an NBA draft analyst there. Thanks again, Matt, for joining us here at Locked On Bulls.
Thanks, Jordan. I appreciate it.
Want to thank Matt Babcock again for joining the show. You can follow him on Twitter at MattBabcock11 or at BabcockHoops.com for all of his latest draft analysis, updated podcast, video. He's been all over the place the last month or so, talking about NBA draft prospects, talking about his life in the NBA, his connections with his dad and his uncles, and just coming from the background of a family like his is incredible. And he's got great insight and great information. So glad he joined us for a little bit. Check him out at MattBabcock11 on Twitter. Drop your thoughts, 331-979-1369. Does it surprise you that he had LaMelo Ball going at number 4? Do you believe Obi Toppin is the right fit in Minnesota? What do you guys think about James Wiseman at number 4 if it comes down to it? All of those questions, want your reaction at 331-979-1369. Drop your questions, your texts, your voicemails, anything you got for us there. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Matt and I will be back on Monday with a brand new episode. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. Matt and I will be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Were you happy with the schemes?
Don't come here once every 2 years and ask those questions. I don't want to hear that from you.
I can ask the questions.
Good. Ask. I'm not answering it.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
I don't want to hear that from you.
Break.
Yeah. Sure. I see you to show up.